I just want to feel normal. Can we all just pretend that we feel normal? Would that be okay? Norman receives a secret Santa gift. The holidays had snuck up on Norman, and he had forgotten that his company had an annual secret Santa gift exchange. Of course, who he drew didn't matter. He always bought them a gift certificate to his favorite local bookstore. Who couldn't use more books, he reasoned. On the day of the gift exchange, he gave the gift certificate to Carl from IT, whom he had never met, but who seemed nice enough. Rather than staying for refreshments, he decided to call it an early night. He headed for the door when Lisa stopped him. "Norman, wait!" she exclaimed. "You never received your secret Santa gift!" She handed him a gift basket full of cat toys, catnip and a small scratching post, and fish-flavored treats, and even a photo frame for a picture of Norman and Norman. "You seem so fond of your cat," said Lisa. "When I drew your name, I thought maybe my gift for you should also be a gift for him, too." She gave his shoulder a squeeze. "Happy holidays, Norman." Norman tried to say thank you, but he couldn't speak. Aw, Norman loves Norman more than he loves himself. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And good for Lisa for being observant enough to know what Norman likes. I know what I like, and I like Norman. Norman walks home in the rain. It was 5 o'clock, finishing time for Norman. He had left his car at home today in an effort to start living a healthier lifestyle. Norman saw his coworker Lisa on the way out. Lisa tried to say goodbye, but Norman doesn't particularly like Lisa, so he continued on past her. As Norman walked out the exit, he noticed that it was raining. Norman doesn't want to ask Lisa for a lift, so he just headed home. Norman didn't make it home in time for CSI. It's okay to have bad days sometimes. Oh, come on, Norman. Lisa bought you a gift for your cat and everything. I'm sure she'd be happy to give you a ride home. But oh well, squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know what I'm saying? Norman and the girl at the bank. Norman was out the door 17 minutes early, as he was on most Tuesdays. This gave him enough time to go to the bank near the office to take out some money for the week and still arrive on time to work. Norman enjoyed this trip, as there was a very beautiful bank teller who always had a shift on Tuesday mornings. Norman went to the back of the line at the bank and pretended to look at pamphlets until her line was available. He requested the usual, $15 in cash. As the teller retrieved the money, she looked at Norman. "You know, I see you in here every Tuesday. You could take out more at once to save yourself the trip each week. Might make your life a bit easier," she said helpfully. Norman formed a weak smile and took his money. He never went to the bank on Tuesdays again. Oh, now here you cut me real deep. I don't know why you had to do this. "You have to go back to the bank, Norman. Please go back. Give her another chance." Norman finds a white hair. As Norman stroked Norman's soft fur, he was surprised to find a white hair in Norman's usually gray coat. "Well, Norman, it looks like someone isn't a spring chicken anymore," he said with a chuckle, and Norman mewed in response. Norman's reflection in the window caught his eye. He smiled. The sight of his bald head didn't bother him as much as usual today. That's right, feel secure in yourself, Norman and Norman. Getting old is just a part of life, and it can be the sweeter part of life. I guess it all depends on your frame of reference. Norman receives a text message. Norman was sitting on the recliner in his living room. He felt his cell phone buzz in his pocket. The vibrating sensation on his legs startled him. He retrieved his cell phone from his pocket and flipped it open. Norman had received a text message from Lisa. The message read, "Did you get that?" Norman's face became warm as a bead of sweat formed at the top of his brow. His armpits started to feel sticky. "Did I get what?" he thought. "Was I supposed to get something from Lisa? Did I miss it?" He hurriedly began crafting a response. "Was I supposed to get something from you?" Before completing the message, Norman deleted it because he worried it might come off as too abrasive. His thoughts flicked back and forth as he tried to come up with a proper response. His phone buzzed in his hand, and then it buzzed again. He had received 2 more text messages from Lisa. "Sorry, meant to send that to someone else. See you at work on Monday." A wave of relief crashed over Norman. He looked at the smiley face and smiled back at it. A few weeks later, Norman's cell phone bill arrived. He was happy that he had an unlimited messaging plan so that he didn't have to spend 30 cents on text messages that month.
God.
Yeah, that was back in the day, wasn't it? That unlimited text messaging plan is starting to pay for itself already. Oh, Norman, you're just precious. Norman tells a lie. As Norman entered his office, he was greeted by Barbara from HR. Hi, Norman. How was your morning? Norman thought about his morning. Today, he had already poured cereal in his bowl before he realized there was no milk left in the fridge. It was fine, thank you, Norman said politely. He didn't know Barbara that well, and didn't feel like talking about his morning.
Well, that's a slippery slope to go down, Norman. You start with one lie, and before you know it, you're crawling through the back alley checking out the love dumpster. All I'm saying, check yourself a little bit.
I don't know that Barbara really wanted to hear about the cereal anyways. But it's cute that he thought she might.
Norman makes a change. Norman sat while a commercial played during an old rerun of CSI. Norman idly clicked around on his cell phone. He accidentally worked his way into settings and found one that intrigued him. Change ringtone. Huh. He clicked on it and scrolled through its dizzying number of options. It'd be kind of fun to use a new ringtone, Norman thought to himself. Norman boldly selected the option labeled Classical. Norman was almost too excited to sleep that night. 4 months later, Norman was driving home from work when he heard an unfamiliar noise from his pocket. Norman reached into his pocket and pulled out his cell phone. Coming from it was a classical orchestra. Norman answered, and an automated voice told him that Norman had a veterinary appointment coming up soon. Norman changed his ringtone when he got home.
4 months is how long it took him to get a phone call? What's Norman's number? I'll sit on the phone with him, that's fine. I just want to make his days a little bit brighter.
Norman smiled at a girl today, but she didn't notice.
Aw, man. Good on you for shooting your shot. It seems a bit bold for Norman, honestly.
Norman gets nude in front of Lisa. Oh my. Norman got up from his desk and started walking toward the break room because he was feeling thirsty. He saw Lisa reading a book as he entered and went towards the vending machine to get a drink. After he inserted a crumpled up dollar, he pressed A1 to get a standard plastic water bottle. Norman reached down to grab his purchase, but in his hand he found a kiwi-flavored drink called Nude. He was confused as to why he didn't get a water bottle, but he decided to give the drink a try. Pretty delicious, honestly, but I know, knowing Norman, it is probably the one and only time that he tried it. Then it was back to good old water, which is probably the way it's meant to be, isn't it? Norman is racially sensitive. Well, I should hope so. It was a bright, sunny day after work, and Norman decided that a walk in the park would be just the thing to cheer himself up and to work off that turkey sandwich he'd had for lunch. He even considered having some vanilla ice cream after dinner, if he walked far enough. But he decided that he should be healthy and save that treat for some other time. Midway through the walk, Norman noticed a bench and decided to take a break. He took a seat near the middle of the bench, set his briefcase down, and looked around to see if he could spot any birds. As he looked up, someone came and sat down on the other side of the bench. Norman imperceptibly scooted over to give that person more room, reasoning that it was a small bench, and both occupants would be more comfortable with more room. Norman glanced at the young black man next to him and then turned away. Suddenly, the thought occurred to him that this man might interpret his movement as racist rather than just an attempt to be polite. Norman began to worry about this because he saw all people as equal regardless of color and didn't want this man to think less of him. Norman considers apologizing, but he was still unsure of what to say. An uncomfortable silence settled over the bench, and the unspoken implication of Norman's action hung between the two of them. Finally, Norman got up his courage to say something.
I like your tie, he blurted out.
The man turned to look at him. Thanks, he said.
Norman felt better about their interaction and decided that now was the best time to escape this awkward situation. He got up and started to walk home. On the way out, Norman guiltily checked his pocket to make sure that his wallet was still there. bro, what? Is this racially sensitive, or is this just like the episode where we find out how much white guilt Norman has? I understand. You're a neurotic mess, but about this? Come on. Just be cool. And if you did a thing, then embrace it. You're like, yeah, that's fine, I said it. It's all part of living and learning, Norman. Treating people as equal human beings. Seeing them not for their skin color, but the content of their character. But I don't know. I'm glad your wallet was still there. Norman's first day of university. With sweat beaded on his 20-year-old brow, Norman hurried into an expansive lecture hall. He knew today would be the greatest day of his life. He clenched his textbook tightly as he found himself a desk, and he realized just how vast the hall was. Is this room gonna fill up? That's gotta be like 250 people, Norman thought to himself. There were several empty desks, yet the next girl to walk in sat right beside him. Norman didn't think much of it. He had a girlfriend already, his high school sweetheart. You don't know her. She goes to another school in Canada. The girl gave Norman a warm smile, which Norman coldly brushed off. This day was too important to try and make friends. He had worked too hard to blow it all now. A little while later, when the lecture hall had already filled, an elderly professor burst through the door. He walked up to the table at the head of the hall and opened up his briefcase and removed some papers. He cleared his throat, and then he spoke. You are all chosen to be here. You're the best and brightest from across the country, and have worked hard for your entire lives. And I'm proud to tell you all that this is the home stretch. This is the last hurdle before your future, and let me tell you, your future is bright. Norman smiled from ear to ear. He had turned down countless parties in high school, pushed away all of his friends just to study and get to this point. Even his relationship with his girlfriend was failing, as he loved her a lot, but he didn't want her to stand in his way. The professor started his lecture, and Norman was completely enthralled. He hung on his every word, and after a nearly 3-hour lecture, Norman couldn't wait for the next class. He headed home on the bus, excited to tell his girlfriend about the day. As he walked to the front door of the small house that they rented together, she was waiting on the porch. As he approached, he could see she had a strange look on her face. Norman, I've got to tell you something. He could feel his heart beating faster and faster as he followed her into the house. He sat down in his favorite chair and tossed his textbook on the coffee table as she sat on the couch. Their eyes met, and the next few words would change both of their lives completely. However, Norman just blanked them out. He didn't hear them. And when his girlfriend burst into tears, he wasn't sure what the problem was. Sorry, what'd you say? Norman stumbled over his words as he struggled to comfort her. Norman, I'm pregnant. Didn't you hear me? Norman let these words settle in. His initial reaction was actually somewhat excited. He'd always dreamed of having a child, but as his excitement set in, he began to sink in his seat. The slow realization of all the sacrifices that he would have to make rushed through his head. She struggled to keep a part-time job. He would be the sole provider, and likely he'd have to quit school. I don't want you to have to quit school, she blurted out, seemingly reading Norman's mind. I think we should talk about giving it up. No. Norman would not have any of that. He made this child, and even if it was a mistake, they would go through with it. Norman had a very traditional sense to him, and he knew what he had to do next. I'll call the university tomorrow and drop out of my classes. My uncle works in an office. I'll see if I can't find some work with him. Norman's cool and collected reaction put a smile on his girlfriend's face. We should get married, I think. She smiled at him and rested her head on his lap. He knew that his life was about to change. Norman thought about what his teacher had said about his bright future, and briefly thought that this would mess all of that up. Suddenly, the thought of being a father and a husband dawned upon him, and Norman was content. 20 years later, Norman was sitting in his favorite chair, the same chair that he sat in when he found out that he was to be a father. He heard a bang over by his bookshelf and saw Norman dash into another room. Norman slowly walked up and saw that a book had fallen off the shelf. As he approached it, he realized that it was the textbook from his first and only day of university. Norman read the title out loud, Forensic Science for Beginners. He had a huge smile on his face. He placed the book back on the shelf and walked back to his chair, ignoring any sort of thoughts of what could have been. That's beautiful. He's satisfied with his path in life. And I think that's like one of the first and only things that most people aspire to, isn't it? Yeah, he works a crappy office job, but he's proud to be a husband and father, even if he is slightly estranged from his kids. There is a sequel to this story, which we're going to check out right now. Norman tells his parents. Norman Origins 2. This post is a follow-up to another story I wrote. You should be able to read this one on its own, but it definitely benefits from reading the other story, which we did. Norman was always closer to his father. He had a very relaxed, friendly personality, not unlike Norman himself, and he found it both welcoming and reassuring. Norman didn't dislike his mother by any means. She was a small lady who was often assertive, and he just always gravitated towards his father. As Norman drove up in his used station wagon that he bought with his tuition refund, he went over what he needed to say. It had been nearly 6 months since he had found out about the pregnancy. He thought perhaps he'd waited too long to tell his parents and was nervous about their reaction, specifically his mother's. He had wished his girlfriend, now fiancée, had joined him, but she wasn't feeling too well. Norman walked down the familiar pathway through the yard. He climbed the steep stairs and let himself in. His parents were watching the news, and both of them stood up when Norman entered for a hug. He hugged them both and told them to sit back down. Norman began the story about the pregnancy, having to quit school, the decision to get married. His parents always let Norman finish talking before saying anything. They stared at Norman somewhat blankly. Norman finished the story by placing an invitation to his wedding on their coffee table. "Norman, we love you no matter what," his mother spoke first. Norman's father sat back a little in his seat and scratched his beard, as he always did before he said something important.
"We do love you, Norman, but we can't support this."
Norman's mother almost looked as shocked as Norman himself.
"I can't support a child out of wedlock, and I can't support you giving up school."
Norman stared blankly at his father. He never talked back to his parents, not even as a child. "Well, Pop, it is extremely important to me to get married before the child is born," Norman began as respectfully as he could. "And maybe after the birth, I could go back."
"We will not support this child, and we will not support you in this,"
Norman's father spoke in a stern tone that Norman had never heard before. This was extremely unlike Norman's father, but like Norman himself, he did have a very traditional sense. Norman looked to his mother for support. Surely she would stand up for him, be his savior. She looked like she disagreed with Norman's father, but never said a word against him. She placed her hands on her husband's hands and supported his decision. Norman didn't understand, but he would have to respect his parents' decision. He walked towards the door, and when he exited, he heard it lock behind him, something that had never happened in any previous visit. He knew what this meant, and defeated, he returned to his car. About a month later, Norman was sitting comfortably in his favorite chair, sorting through the mail. He received a return RSVP to his wedding and began opening it. Instantly, he recognized it was from his parents, and they had checked off the box, "Respectfully decline." Oof. It didn't matter much, as the wedding would have to be postponed because Norman's fiancée went into labor the morning of the wedding. It was a little bit early, but the baby was delivered successfully, and it was a boy. Meet Norman Jr. As Norman held his son in his arms for the first time, he was overcome with emotion. It was a truly beautiful thing that he had helped create. It was someone that he would love and cherish and be proud of and support all unconditionally. Norman wondered if his own father felt the same feeling when Norman was born.
Damn, dude. Why the Norman stories always dig so deep? Sometimes that's the most difficult cringe of all, isn't it?
It's like, this is far too real. It's making me uncomfortable. Yes, I want to be the best father that I can for my sons. I don't know how great a job I'm doing of that sometimes, but all you can do is the best that you can do.
Norman wins the lottery. Norman had won the lottery. The winning ticket was prominently displayed on his refrigerator, held in place by a magnet in the shape of an ice cream cone. Norman didn't care for that particular magnet, which was why he had selected it for the task of holding his ticket in place. Better to give the other, better-liked magnets the task of holding on to more permanent items.
Such a Norman way of thinking, I love it.
Monday morning came, and Norman rose an hour earlier than usual. He disliked deviating from his routine, but these were special circumstances. After taking care to sign his name on the back of the ticket, seal it in an envelope for safekeeping, and then hide it away inside his coat's inside pocket, Norman made his way to the lottery office. He'd been thinking all weekend about how to spend his winnings, and now that they were so close at hand, he could scarcely contain his excitement. The woman behind the counter gave Norman a strange look, but she counted out his $3 all the same. That afternoon, Norman ordered a cookie and a pickle with his lunch.
Yeah, why not? Small wins, we take those. Good for you, Norman. Look at him, he's not disappointed by the amount or anything. He's content with what he's got. As I say every time we visit this place, I think we could all strive to be a bit more like Norman.
Norman orders a small cheese pizza. Norman was hungry, but Norman was not in the mood to cook his own dinner. He pondered on this for a few minutes before he decided on ordering a pizza. The phone rang 3 times before it was answered by a girl with a very pleasant voice. Her voice continued to be pleasant as she informed Norman that he needed to order more than just a small cheese pizza to meet the minimum delivery. Norman was thoughtful. He rarely ordered in, so he hadn't expected this conundrum. The girl with the pleasant voice suggested that he get some chicken wings, and because Norman had already thrown caution to the wind by ordering a pizza in the first place, he thought he might as well go all out and get a 5-pack. When Norman's order arrived, he was met with yet another puzzler. His 5 pairs of chicken wings did not contain 5 wings.
"Yes, there's been a mistake with my order," he explained. "No, there weren't 5 pieces. With a promise to fix the situation, the girl with the pleasant voice was gone before Norman could ask her what he should do about the extra chicken wing. Within 20 minutes, there was a knock at the door. The delivery boy from before was back with a fresh 5-pack of chicken wings free of charge. He was also gone before Norman could ask him what he was supposed to do with this extra chicken wing. Norman was now left with a small cheese pizza and a total of 11 chicken wings. If this wasn't a whirlwind of a night, Norman didn't know what was.
He's just living his best life. You deserve it, Norman. Honestly,
share those wings with Norman and just enjoy yourself.
These are the good times, I tell you what.
Norman's special evening. Norman was particularly excited for CSI tonight. The episode due to come in the usual rotation of reruns was one that he had never seen before. It was the only episode that he had never managed to catch. Something had always come up. Last time, it was a vet appointment for Norman. As he settled into his chair and the intro played, there was a knock at his door. He got up and answered it, and standing there were 2 very well-dressed young men from the Church of Latter-day Saints. They started talking about religion. Norman was not particularly interested, and he was a little anxious to be missing his show. However, he didn't want to be rude to the very polite young men, so he smiled, nodded, and made polite small talk for 45 minutes until the young men left of their own accord. Norman went back to his chair, but the episode was almost over. He turned the TV off. Maybe next time.
Why are you not, like, catching this on TiVo? I guess that's, like, an old people thing. Now it's just a DVR, right?
But all I'm saying, Norman, is invest in yourself. Although maybe he likes the thrill of the chase, you know? He's like, that's that one episode that I've never seen. Norman is pranked. Norman was sitting in his recliner when the phone rang late in the evening. Hello? Norman asked harshly. He hadn't meant for his hello to sound so aggressive, but thought that the thrilling action scene playing on the television might have affected it. He was already worried that this call, with whoever it might be, would turn sour based on the rude beginning. Hello? The voice said back. Her voice sounded so much less offensive than his, and he was glad for that. But who was she? She sounded young, like a little girl, Norman thought. Hello? Norman responded. This time he was careful not to make it sound so harsh, but at the same time tossed the ball back into her court, as she was the one who had called. Is your refrigerator running? She asked. Norman pondered this question, unsure of the answer. He stood from the chair, carefully tossed the blanket resting on top of him to the armrest, and went to his refrigerator. He opened it, looking around. Did the light mean that it was working properly? Does the light mean it's working properly? Is it running? Maybe. Does the light mean that it's working properly? She hung up quickly, the phone clanging on plastic before cutting out. Norman was confused. He looked online to see if the light meant that the refrigerator was okay. It gave him various answers. Norman would have to call the apartment's maintenance in the morning. Is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it! Honestly, good attempt. It's an oldie but a goodie, just a classic. But Norman is a bit too analytical. You can try him again, though. If he doesn't have a DVR, he definitely doesn't have caller ID, right? Let's try one more story, and then I'm going to get out of here for today. Nomran. Norman excitedly filled out a form he had received from the office administrator. Everyone was receiving a complimentary nameplate to hang outside of their cubicle, to make it easier for people who didn't work at the company to find a specific person in the office. Norman carefully considered the color options, a dark forest green or a light tan color. Norman decided to go with the more traditional option of green and went to turn in the form. Next week, Norman checked the mailroom and was pleased to find that his nameplate had arrived. He decided to wait until lunch to put it up, as he didn't want to waste company time on his own personal pride. At lunch, Norman carefully unwrapped his nameplate to find a tan nameplate with Nomran written in white text. Norman frowned. At least they got most of it right, Norman thought to himself as he hung it outside of his cubicle. At the end of the day, as Norman was shutting off his computer, he heard a voice outside his cubicle. Have a nice day, Nomran, Lisa said with a wink as she walked by. Norman smiled as he drove home. Oh man, Norman and Lisa have this real will-they-won't-they type of thing going on, don't they? Nobody could seem to decide, and I guess it's better that way. I enjoyed my visit with Norman today. I hope that you guys did as well. Just helping me to unwind a little bit, you know? I appreciate you guys coming through. Like, comment, subscribe. It really does help the video to spread even further. So please share it around if you think that it is a props. And I do think that it is that. Exactly that. Completely appropriate. 100% adequate. I love you, Norman. Just a good boy. Check out our links in the description. Twitter, Twitch, Discord, whatever you want. TikTok, some stuff. Thank you to my Patreon patrons, my gorgeous, wonderful YouTube channel members. If you can join up with them, help me make it through the month. I mean, that's huge. If not, don't sweat it too hard, friends. I just appreciate you coming on through, hanging out with me, and I hope that you'll come on back and hang out with me again tomorrow. In order to do so, you need to keep yourself safe out there. Wash your hands. And, of course, always remember, friends, that you are loved, you are worthy, you definitely, definitely deserve it. And I shall see you in the next one. So until then, bye-bye.